Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together as friends and hang out and do life and learn all at the same time. We thank you for grace, for fellowship, for fun, and for all that you want to teach us, even from the book of Job. We pray that your presence will be with us. You will guide our conversations, will lead us into the truth, even as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody that was here at our last meeting would like to share one thing you can remember, or maybe one thing that stayed with you, one thing you took away from our introductory conversation on the book of Job. Anybody like that, just unmute yourself and go for it. All right, bro, Shegun, go on.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can now. Go on.
All right. Okay, so for the last section on Job, the part one, I mean, a lot of things were linked, but the stood out for me was the part where, despite all that happened, the later parts of Job, and Job fell down and he worshiped. Mm. And then you talk about that sometimes you may not know if, I think somebody asked the question that, how do we know if something is from God or from the devil and all of that? And then you were making an analogy that even if it's from God or the devil, that at least worship, it's from that worship, should I say posture, that is when you know if this is, of course, not from God, you know. I don't know how you put it that way, but at least that should be the first response. You just worship that, no matter the circumstances, good or bad, you just worship that. It's from that place of worship that you know the next line of action. So that was my own take home. But I think you were saying that after chapter one, that's going for further, he might actually change the posture, but at least for that chapter one, the ending part was that he worshiped. Yeah.
Well done. Well done. That's a good point to note. Any other person wants to share? Yes. Bro Steven, go on. Oh, okay. I thought you wanted to contribute. I think it's just joining in. Any other person, something you remember from the last meeting or that stayed with you, or a lingering question, or your takeaway as we began to look at the story of Job? Anybody? All right, Damola, go on.
Okay, I think one of them was the fact that we are never alone. Mm. So yeah. So whatever it is going through. And then it's okay to air our grievances to God also.
Those are also very important key points that we emphasized. I think one of the things that Francis Chan reiterated is that idea of we are being watched. You know, Hebrews 12 talks about this great cloud of witnesses, because it feels like a drama, doesn't it? Like the heavens were opened and we were let into this scene before the presence of God, where this conversation was going on, and, you know, and the takeaway from that conversation is the devil is roaming to and fro looking for who to devour on the one hand, but also God is also having a look, and he knows the children that he's especially proud of, and we want to be like that. So yeah, those are key things to reiterate. So ending on that note and then transitioning into chapter two, that's what we want to basically spend some time thinking and looking at today. And as we do it, actually for every of the session, there is always like a key idea that we are supposed to keep at the back of our minds as we are journeying through the series. And I'm going to just share with us some of the key things to keep in mind for this week too, so that when you're listening to the video clip that we're going to listen to together, those key things can, you can see how it connects. We'll come back to those key points at the end. The main idea is that we want to see that the way we respond to suffering reveals our view of God as part of the things we want to zoom in on today. How to respond faithfully in a way that honors God, even when we are hurting. That's the main idea. And then there are three levels that that can begin to inform how you do life. There can be a change, at least a head change, a change in your thinking. And that would be to know that we are part of a larger story, that we are not the ones at the center of the story of our lives, actually, as we like to think. All these me, 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 me prayers, when you actually pan out a bit and begin to see, one of the things that today's story will help us to, or today's passage will help us to begin to think through, is that we are not at the center of the story. And then in a deeper level, we are hoping that we'll begin to feel comfortable allowing the mystery of our suffering to coexist with our faith. This tension of, I can have faith and still suffer. I mean, it's something that, you know, many faith-filled or people that belong to the faith movement, as they call it, can find a bit conflicting. If you have faith, then there should be no problem. If there's a mountain, you should speak to it and the mountain will be cast into the sea and you move on. But we know that life doesn't always play out like that. So the ability to hold that tension of, I have faith, and yes, I'm going through this, or I have a thorn in my flesh, it's a tension that we should be able to begin to get familiar with. And hopefully that we will all be able to come alongside those who are suffering in a way that is comforting and not quick to start speaking. So that's kind of the general idea of, you know, what we want to ponder. But we're going to read the passage for today. It's Job chapter 2. It's 13 verses, verse 1 to 13, that we're going to zoom in on. And then we'll go and watch the video. And by the time we come back, we'll then have a conversation about it. But I want us to be done by 10 past 8 UK time, which is like 45 minutes from now. So we need to be a little bit snappy with our conversations, with our thoughts, with our contributions, just so that we can maximize the moment. I'm going to share the screen for the passage. And like we did last week, there are two versions on the screen. You have the NKJV on the left, the voice translation on the right, and you can choose to read any of them. I will let Sister Anu begin by reading verses 1 and 2. And then, at least I know that those that have contributed are in a place where they can talk. So I'm going to start with you all. Brashegun, you would pick on verses 3 and 4. And then Akinlelu, you go on 5 and 6. And then, where is Helen? Okay, yeah. Helen Adepeju, you go on 7 and 8. And then Damola, you go on 9 and 10. And then I'll read the rest. So Sister Anu, over to you. And verse 1.
Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it."
Okay. Lastly, Rashagun.
Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life."
Verse 5 and 6 to Isu, Bracken Lulu, sorry, yeah.
But first out and now, and brush his bone and his flesh, they will surely cause you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, but fear his life."
Thank you. 7 and 8. Adepeju.
So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. and he took for himself a post shared with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes.
I intend, Amala.
Oh, I think my network is acting up. I didn't hear when you called me. Which part am I reading?
Sorry, 9 and 10 on the screen.
All right. Okay, I read the other one, the one on the right. His wife found him.
Uh-huh.
Will you still not swerve in your commitment? Curse God and die. Uh-huh. You are speaking nonsense like some depraved woman. Are we to accept that good that come? Are we to accept the good that comes from God, but not accept the bad?
Hmm.
Throughout all of this, Job did not sin with his mouth. It would not cause God, as the accuser predicted.
Okay. Sister Lioness, can you read 11 and 12, and then I'll read verse 13.
Okay, 11 and 12. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all these advice that come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Namathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept, and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head towards heaven. We can't hear you.
Sorry, thank you. Verse 13 from the Voice translation says, then they sat with him on the ground and stayed there with him for 7 days and 7 nights, mourning as if he were already dead. All the while, no one spoke a single word because they saw his profound agony and grief. They saw his profound agony and grief. The Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. As usual, we'll begin with, how does that make you feel? I mean, that's a full chapter of all sorts. How does that make you feel? What part of that resonates with you in any way? Do you find puzzling? Do you find, I can relate with that, I've been there, or something like that? Just some initial thoughts before we zoom in on some specific questions. And anybody can go first. You just unmute yourself and go for it.
I just feel again that, you know, this feeling of that statement that is still being watched, is like whatever that is going on in his heart is still being watched closely.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking, because all of these things the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, they're written for example. So sometimes it feels as though it's a drama though.
Uh-huh.
But then even in watching this drama, how they acted should inform our own decision on how the state of our heart should be.
Absolutely. Sister, I know you were unmuting yourself before. You wanted to say something?
Yes, I was gonna say, what's Joshua, hold on. I was gonna stop that part that says that when Satan replied and said skin to skin, a man will give everything he has for his life or something like that. No, a man will give his life for everything he has. That actually, struck me.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go watch the video and then we'll come back and begin to tie together our conversation. But as we do that, keep two things in mind. Watch out for how Francis answers these two questions. Who is the central figure in this story? He's going to answer. And secondly, what's the point of our existence? Those two questions in and of themselves might sound like, what has that got to do with what we are reading? But as we watch the video, Francis will tie it together
for us. Pastor. I just wanted to say something on what Sister Anu just said. Just 1 minute.
Uh-huh.
So actually, if we check it, when we say the devil is a liar, the devil is actually not a liar. It means what he said.
Uh-huh.
Because maybe some people would have, because of skin to skin and because of wanting to give their life for everything, The devil is actually not a liar we thought he is.
I
just if it because if it were somebody else too, it's likely that they do what he said. It's not something new.
Indeed. I see the angle you are coming from, and I could also hold on tension the angle that Anu is coming from. And both of them have their validities in that sense. But would double click on that as we move on. But I want us to go listen to what Francis has got to say. Disclaimer again, just to watch with an open mind. Don't be distracted by any other thing. Don't be too carried away by the way he speaks. Don't be too carried away by his gesticulations. Enjoy the message. And let's come back and discuss that together after now.
Last week we talked about how we're not alone. We're being watched right now. How did that affect your week, knowing that you were being watched the entire week? That there's a bigger story going on. I mean, did it change your actions? That practicing of the presence of God, knowing that he's aware of your thoughts, your actions, your words. See, if it didn't impact the way you live this week, I just gotta warn you, be very careful, because you know the book of James talks about how we can deceive ourselves by being hearers of the word and yet it has no effect on us. It'll be very easy for you to go through this whole book study of the book of Job and it doesn't change you. I mean, the reality that someone is watching, that there's a cloud of witness, it should have changed your life this week. And so pray to God, say, God, please have this change me. I don't need just more information about you. I want to be changed. That's what the word of God is supposed to do. Now, when we get to Job chapter 2, it gets even more intense. Because as we know from the first chapter, Job goes through all these trials and it ends on this high note, like, yes, through all of this, he keeps worshiping. He glorifies God. He blesses the name of the Lord. So then in chapter 2, it's as though Job passed the test, so Satan comes back for more. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, even though you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, only spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Okay, that is super intense. This is very offensive to some of us. In this day and age, we want to say he has no right to do that. that is not fair of him to do. Some of you might have the audacity to say, he better not do that to me. Last week, we talked about how we are not alone. And what I want to share with you this week is that we are not the center of this story. This is not about us. There's a story that's been going on about God and Satan and this battle. And now we've entered into the picture for our short scene in this movie. I mean, think about it. What happened 100 years ago? 1923. Do you remember what you were feeling at that moment? No, because you weren't alive. I mean, maybe a couple of you were. That'd be pretty cool. But the thought is, 100 years ago, I didn't exist. I had no thoughts. I had no feeling. And yet there was this narrative going on, and it had been going on for thousands of years. So there's this big thing that is going on, okay? This big cosmic plan and things in the heavenlies that are happening right now. And somehow I can do things, think things, say things, respond to things in a way that it affects heaven. I mean, Job's actions were impacting this dialogue that's going on in heaven. I meet very few people on the earth that live as though they're being watched. Back in 1647, the church in Scotland and England and Ireland, they wanted this unity. They wanted unity of in ministry. And so they got together and saying, what do we believe is the point of our existence? And they wrote this thing called the Westminster Confession. And the first question was, what is the chief aim of man? In other words, what is the point of our existence? When we read this book, what do we agree upon is the chief aim of man? And their answer, their united answer was, the chief aim of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So they come to the conclusion after studying this book, they all agree, you know what? The whole point of our existence is to bring glory to him. So somehow my actions, the way I respond to trial, it actually could bring glory to him. And that is the point of my existence. That is what I should be striving for on this earth. About a month ago, I was at a memorial service. Some very dear friends of mine, Ryan and B, in fact, he's one of the elders at our church. I love them so much. They love Jesus so much. But their 6-month-old baby daughter passed away. And a month ago, we had the service. And I remember being at their home with all the other elders and their wives, and we just wept together. We just cried. I remember as we're just sobbing. I mean, they're just sobbing and they're just going, would you guys just tell us some good news? Just remind us of the truth of God's word again. Just quote scripture to us. Say something good, say something good. As they're just sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. And we're just quoting scripture. We're just reading from the word. We're taking communion together. And I'll never forget, during the memorial service, I remember just sitting there in the front row with them, and I'm looking over, and with
tears streaming down their faces. They have their hands in the air and they're singing, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." And they're just declaring it as they're weeping for their daughter and how much they're gonna miss. And then they're singing, it is well with my soul. And then it was like they were just looking at the enemy and going, no, you're not gonna take me down. I'm gonna glorify God in the midst of this. Have I been crying for the last month? Have I been sobbing, miserable? Yes, but it is well with my soul. And I still stand on Christ, on that solid rock, that solid foundation. And I thought, wow, God, if I ever go through something that horrific, would you give me the strength to glorify you in the midst of it? Because this is why we exist.
Hey. Just like last week after the video, I mean, my voice went away for a couple of minutes. But yeah, we read the passage before we watched the video, and now we've watched someone's reflection on the text, and he's zooming on this issue about the fact that we are not at the center of the story. He's zooming on this point about the fact that, you know, why are we even here? That the chief end of man, or the chief aim of man, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now, reading what we read and seeing what we watched, I'm just hoping to hear our thoughts, and then we can begin to converge that, synthesize that as the Spirit of God would help us, give us guidance, give us wisdom, give us direction, so that we have something to take away as well again from this week's reflection. As always, feel free to just unmute yourself and go for it. Otherwise, you can virtually raise your hand and then you'll be asked to speak. Does this remind you of something, an experience?
Okay, I would like to go first.
All right, go on, Ellen.
Okay. I would first of all like to mention the verse of that scripture we read, where Job said, would we take the good things that God gives and not take the bad? Mm. I mean, God doesn't give bad. We all know that already. Mm. And if Job had a better understanding, then I'm sure he would have said the bad that the devil gives at all. But I was also just like, I really just have a better understanding recently. I really feel in the past few weeks, I've been through few weeks and a month plus, almost 2 months now. Mm-hmm. I've gone through like some things that, you know, I was telling somebody that it's a wilderness experience. Mm. You know, I could literally say that I went through something similar to what Job went through. Of course, not as bad as what Job went through, but it felt like that to me. Like it felt like the end of the world, because I had never been through something like that before. And I literally had ₦0 in my account, and that never happened to me. Like maybe in a very, very long time. I had no money on me, and I was still living, things were still happening, and I felt like the end of the world had come. You know, I started asking God, like, Lord, like, it seems like you've pampered me a lot too, for me to feel this way right now and feel like the end of the world has come, you know. But I learned quite a few things at that time, and I started asking God, okay, so if something like this happens next time, what do I do? How do I react to it? How do I get money? Because I know my father is rich, so why should his daughter have no money on her? You know, in the beginning, I was asking God, how do I get money? How do I get money? But later, I think I just started having a different perspective. I feel like, wait, it's not does it have to be so bad to not have money? Like, does money have to be like the end of the, not having money have to be like the end of the world? I feel like God was giving me a different perspective to things. Like life could go on without money. A lot of things would still happen without money. And truly, when my perspective changed, a lot of things started happening for me that I didn't even know were there before. I started seeing things I didn't even realize were there before. So really listening to the pastor's reflection on Job's story and this reading this passage, they really, really just put things together for me, really. I mean, why would you want to enjoy the best of God, enjoy the good times? When the bad times come, we are all out cursing God and saying, God, why me? God, I mean, there are different sides to life. Life is not things happening our way. Life on our laps. Or things going our way, you know. Life can also be about is God in the bad times, is also God in the good times. So the good and the bad, they all work together. In fact, I really just have a different understanding of that scripture that says all things work together for our good, of the good of them that loves God. You know, all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, the terrible, they all work together for our good. Hallelujah.
Thank you very much. That's really very helpful. Okay, Sister Lioness.
I was comparing this scripture in Job chapter 2, Job chapter 1 and verse 8, and Job chapter 2 and verse 3. It's like, have you noticed my servant? And I remember that, have you noticed my servant is the finest man? So it was the Lord speaking to Satan that this is who he is. So it's like the Lord is the one introducing this guy to Satan. Like, okay, you know what? Have you noticed this guy?
Check him out.
Like, check him out. And then I remember one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ in the book. I'm talking, give me 1 minute. All right, can you give me 1 minute? So Luke in chapter 3 and verse 1. So Jesus got baptized and his father spoke, said, this is my beloved son and I'm fully pleased with him. So I'm thinking, see the introduction, like God can almost boast, like, I am sure of the investment of myself in this guy. Go and check him out. Like, it cannot, even if Job did not have that strength at that time, I trust my dad will give him the strength. He will pass that test. Trust him that he has a good heart. And he will be like, okay, you know what? If devil, you are going there, right? You're checking him out. But I mean, be rest assured that I am there. It's like, so God is not like, you know the way they used to say it. No, God is not like that. But God can be sure. So again, I heard of Adam, which the Bible also called the son of God. And God was sure enough to bring the animals that he himself created to him. Because God can be sure of his investments. Okay, give me a few minutes. So that God is sure of his investment in Adam, so much so that he knows that, name him, that is what I will name him. So again, it is still about the Lord, because I see Joseph as a type of Jesus anyway, in that perspective. It's a long thing, but that's where I'll stop.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful. Sister Anu, we are making our contributions, let's also be checking the time. We have about 10 minutes to wrap up here.
Okay. Mine is a bit practical. Like when Francis ended with that, if something horrible like that, if it ever happens to him, that may he have
may you still find cause to glorify God. And the Holy Spirit brought to mind to me what happened to me today. You know, yeah. So this morning I overate. And all through the day, I was going around with a protruding stomach. And the Holy Spirit made sure that I was wearing a bodycon dress so I could clearly see it. And whenever I look at myself, the one thing that I wanted to do was to hide. Go wear something looser. But he kept saying, stay like that, stay as you are. So when I heard Francis said, if anything like that ever happened, if anything horrible like that ever happened to me, may I find the cause to glorify God. The Holy Spirit now said, said something like Job's situation might not happen to me, but today I had something that I would term as horrible. But in the midst of that protruding stomach and that overeating that I did to myself, it should lead me back to glorify him, not to hide. Not to be ashamed, because that's what the devil does. We have habits that we are still dealing with. We have vices, but then he uses that to thwart all the things God has been building. It's the foundation of him that we have, the trust. We might think, oh, it's just nothing. I'm sure it happens to most girls about our self-image. We just look at self-image and think, oh, I wish I could be a bit slimmer. But nah, even in the midst of the job, even in the midst of the everything flapping together and the handles, in that, we still glorify him and put the devil to shame, because we don't have to wait till our 10 children are dead or anything. Before what Lioness was saying, that boast, before you could say, Anoluakwa is my daughter. Have you seen her? Even in that protruding stomach, she's still praising me and doing everything she wants to do. So when I heard that, I felt, oh gosh, that's really instructive for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tamala will come to you shortly, and then Stephen. Just want to acknowledge the comment in the chat thread from YNK. She says, the wife of Job is not a wicked woman. She was a grieving woman. And we'll come to that. I just want to throw that out there. And Praise is saying as well in the chat thread, even in the midst of the job, we still glorify him. Reiterating what Anna just said. Okay, Damola, over to you.
Yeah, so in line with what Francis mentioned, yeah, I also remember the movie I watched earlier today. So it's a true life story based on a surfer who lost her arm. So she lost one of her arms due to a shark bite, basically. Yeah, so... I mean, okay, there was a particular word line she said in the movie, which was, what's God's plan for me in all of this? So when she said that, she was talking to our youth fellowship leader. And then it's like a few weeks before the incident, the fellowship leader was just letting them know how they can choose to see things in new perspective. So she was like images, and then they think it's something else. And then when she shows them in a further view, this is actually what it was. So basically, losing meaning, she still wanted to solve, but that would mean learning over again, like with one arm. And then she even said to quit at some point. But it turns out that the following year, there was a tsunami in Thailand. So this is a true life story, right? She 2003, the tsunami in Thailand was in 2004, and she's a Christian and all of that. So their church went to like do help out basically in Thailand, and basically her presence there and all of that just gave hope to the people in Thailand. And of course, there were some coverage here and there, and then people sent letters to her, like how she was a sort of source of motivation to them. And people talking about how, oh, I also lost my arm, but I'm going to try out for a football. And all of that. Yeah, different stories like that. So basically it was like she was just really wondering what was God's plan and all of that. Like, is this really God's plan for me to lose my arm? Like, why did that have to happen? And then just relating it to Job's story, it's like, I mean, this happened, right? Okay, so God allowed this to happen for a reason. And like Stalinus and Stano have mentioned, like, oh, God being proud of us, right? Like, oh, this is my son, this is my daughter. So basically, I mean, she was able to embrace whatever it is that happened to her. And yeah, I mean, she was able to also glorify God in it. I mean, now she's like 33 years old. It's a true life story, yeah. So now she's like 33 years old, still inspiring people and all of that. And yeah, so it was just really I mean, the movie got me teary because it's like, oh, what's God's plan for me? Whatever it is I'm going through that I think, oh, it seems like it's weighing me down, or that I feel like, oh, why is God even doing this to me? Why is God letting this happen to me? But in all of this, there is definitely for
indeed
God in it. So God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you very much. Very spot on. Thank you so much. What's the title of the movie? You can type it in the chat thread just in case someone would like to check that out. I would like to check that out. Stephen, over to you.
Okay, thank you very much. One of the things that stood out for me from both the passage and Francis' discussion was the fact that when Job experienced this, so his friends, they heard about it and they came to sympathize with him. And also for Francis, when the couple lost their daughter, bred them out to come around to sympathize with them and encourage them in with the word and with him. So as youth, there's this tendency to want to go through life and figure out things ourselves and live independent lives and just want to go. So it's just teaching me to understand that life is connected and we cannot always be strong at all times. So we need to nurture people of like mind, people who are strong in faith, so that on our low moments, they can encourage us in the Lord. And I think that will guide us from overly zooming in on the things that have happened to us. And they can serve as angels to go through that season of our life and we come up triumphant. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Very, 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 very brilliant contributions. Damola says the title of the movie is Soul Suffer, and it's on the chat thread to get the correct spelling. The suffer is not suffer as in suffering, but sorrowful, someone who serves. So I know I'm not good in all these pronunciations, but take it like that. Sister Wayenke, thank God you're raising your hand. And I want to go back to that, your point about Job's wife amongst your contribution. I would like you to unpack that a bit when you said the wife of Job is not a wicked woman. She was a grieving woman. I would like to hear more on that. Over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I actually mentioned that because I don't know about anyone else, but for me, sometimes, like, while growing up, we've had this ideal, or we've been unconsciously, there's been this ideology that's been created that, the woman, based on a statement that she was wicked, or, you know, she was a bad woman, you know. But if we reflect first, God boasted about Job, not his wife. And that speaks something. Now, because God knows everybody at their level. He knows us at the level we are with him. He knows our capacity. So that boasting at the beginning, it wasn't, have you seen my servant Job and his wife? You know, it was more like, have you seen my servant Job? This and that and that. Now, if Job had, you know, maybe... if Job had been the ones doing curse God and die, let me use the regular term, it would have fallen God's hand, as if that's possible. Now, that aside, let us understand something, that losing all that he lost, including 10 children in one day, I don't even know how the wife was still sane, and I don't know how Job was still sane at that moment. But it just shows what can become of a person, especially in a grieving moment. And I say this to say that you can see similar reaction from Martha when she heard that Jesus finally came, and she practically was just running out. If she had come, my brother wouldn't have died. You know, everybody deals with grief differently. So in addition to what every other person has said, I chose to spot on that because we've kind of had this mentality that she was a bad woman. But I stand, you know, to think otherwise, because even when at the end of the story of Job, that he recovered even the children, we didn't read anywhere that he remarried though. It's not like he sent that woman away or anything like that. Those are silent. I know Pastor Colan knows the word for it, but those are silent things that scriptures do not talk about. But you know, you can pick and you know deduce. So it's not like Job remarried. It was still that I believe she was still the one that gave birth to those children, you know. And another thing I want to say is that when we are grieving, the abundance of our hearts comes out, tends to come out. You know, I don't want to take too much time. I know we are closing soon, but the abundance of our heart comes out. So, but we do need to be mindful of the state of our heart. You know, we're not praying for anybody to grieve, but like some examples that even when we lose something, what do we think? I'm pretty sure some of us, we've been angry with God before. So let's face it, how do we react? How do we speak? How do we, you know, how do we respond? I remember when I lost my dad, I mean, it was sudden because he died in an accident. And one of the people that came to me, visit me at home then was like, ah, how will you do it now? And I don't know how, where this response came up, but I was just like, ah, it's my earthly father that died now. It's not my heavenly father that died, you know, but that even stuck with me. I found out on Friday. The following Sunday, I still went back. I still went to church and I was praising God, you know. So, but I just wanted us to, I want to leave that with us, that that woman was, the depth of her grief made her mention that statement. And if we see people grieving, if we don't know what to say, it's better we just keep quiet. I heard the news today. It's still a shock to me, and I don't, you know, but it's better to not even say anything to somebody who is grieving than to say, ah, maybe they didn't pray very well. Maybe Job did not, because the Bible says he gives sacrifices even on behalf of his children. Sorry for taking too much time.
Thank you. Thank you. With your contribution, you've touched on very many of the things that we are supposed to be touching on as we tie up together. Well, let me just quickly read the questions on the chat thread, I mean the contributions. Bro, Shegon, get ready to ask your question after this.
I don't have a question again. She has already touched my question.
That's brilliant. Like that.
YNK. If you don't have anything to say, people agree, just shut up. That's like the key point for me. Thank you, Ma.
That's good. Praise says, one truth that I always believe God to hold as truth always is that God is good. Satan is not only the accuser of the brethren, he also accuses God to us. He causes the mishaps and blames God for it. Truth is, the devil does not like us. He has never liked us, and he never will like us. Poses as an angel of light. Satan poses as an angel of light, as a friend who cares and brings thoughts against God to us all the time. May we always find grace to believe the truth that in all things, all in capital letter, God is good and his faithfulness endures forever. So that's brilliant. Akinlulu, you said you've tried raising your hand. Okay, please go in and make your contribution. That's fine.
All right. I quickly want to draw something from the video we watched, talking about fulfilling the purpose of existence, the reason why man was actually created. Mm-hmm. Now, in the midst of situation or in most situations occurrences, seeing that we are fulfilling that purpose, even in the midst of all things. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it was talking about being a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He actually wrote out so many things there. And he now said, to give praises to him who has called us out of darkness, his marvelous light. And this problem went forward to verse 10, talking about people that have not received mercy, who have not received mercy. So the Lord made all those ones, he made all those ones possible, because he actually knew that we are made to fulfill the purpose. He created a lively environment. So he made all those things, he put them in place so that even in time of trouble, we can find the solace, we can find something to hold on to. So in case anyone of us is going through anything, that should be our anchor, that in the midst of situations, fulfilling the purpose, fulfilling the reason why God has created me matter most. God bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you very much for that beautiful contribution. And thanks, everyone. I mean, we are out of time, but I will just quickly land it all. Let me go through some of the questions we are supposed to touch, not to open them up for conversations again, but to kind of give traction to how I want us to think through this, which has come forth in very many of our contributions anyways. Of course, reading this story, I think maybe one thing to also throw out there is the fact that the books of the Bible, they all have, as it were, what is called a genre, a category that they belong to. If you're reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they are very historical. Judges, Joshua, you are reading narratives. But when you're reading Jeremiah and the rest of them, you know you're reading prophetic literature. Job falls within a curious collection that is referred to as poetic literature, which by implication may mean, and there are many things that can suggest this, that this story did not really happen. It's possible that it did happen. It's possible that Job is a real character and all of these things did happen. But the fact of how the conversation was written, I mean, if you sit down and read through the book of Job in one or two sittings, you will see that those words are too carefully chosen to sound like how we will normally talk in everyday conversation. And who was there in heaven to record all those things that were happening in those conversations? And those are thoughts that would make one think, perhaps this did not even happen. But even if it did, and whether it did not or it did, it makes no difference. The points therein, the truth therein remains valid. And I want us to keep that at the back of our mind. And I like that some of us have made attempts to try to contextualize it to our present day. I mean, we are not living in days of cartoons and, you know, tensions and things like that. People don't even have that many children again, in that sense. But yet you see one person losing just one child. I mean, Francis was talking of losing a 6 months old baby, just one. And you can imagine the reaction, the response, the emotional, overwhelming emotional antecedents that came as a result of that for that family. How much more, as it were, what Job must have been going through, and his wife, of course, in that context. But when we begin to think of what we should say or not say to God in times and moments when we feel overwhelmed, that's where I love that statement Sister YNK made about the fact that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. People from my cultural ethnicity, they would say, there's a saying that it is whatever is inside the drunkard that will spill out in the case of manifesting his drunkenness. It's the kind of groundedness that you've given your life, the kind of foundation, truths, understanding, the worldview, your understanding of who God is, that is what will spill out even in the midst of your grief. And that's why in the times when we are not, as it were, suffering, we want to ensure that we have a good perspective of this God. We get to go deeper in our knowledge of him, understanding the full. Obviously, we are incapable of fully understanding him, but understanding all of these different sides to him, to the best of our progressive ability to do that. And when we do go through pain, let's allow ourselves the opportunity to grieve, to feel it, to not be quick to dismiss it. I mean, faith does not deny the fact. you have this issue or that issue, as long as he has a name, acknowledge it, but then submit it to the one whose name is above every other name. But first and foremost, acknowledge it. Don't stifle that. Give expression to it. If you want to cry, cry. If you want to weep, weep. All of that, there's provision for it in God. One of the things that bugs my mind about John 11, the story of when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, many things bugs my mind about that story. For instance, the fact that Jesus even waited out of love. The Bible literally says, and Jesus loved Lazarus so much, and so he waited 2 more days. I mean, that doesn't make sense. But the other thing that still doesn't make sense is the fact that you know you are going to be waking him up from the dead or raising him from the dead, as it were, but you still wept. John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible. If you know that 5 minutes later, I'm going to be calling this guy out of the grave, then what's the point of weeping? But he would still join in the fullness of his humanity to share in the emotional charged atmosphere of what's going on. If anyone feels and understands death, he does. And he knows, I mean, if anyone understands loss, he does. And in the heat of that moment, he gave expression to it in that sense. I would have loved to hear stories of how, you know, times when our circumstances show that God has not met our expectations and how we process that. But that's a fact of life. There will be times that you expect God to come through in this way. You are praying and your prayer is specific as you've been taught to make it be, which is okay. I mean, I love it when we pray specific prayers. And you are very, you know, you make the confessions, you have the verses written out, and you say it the way you want it to be, and things like that. When my wife was pregnant with, was it our first or our second son? She had this confession list of verses and, you know, statements that she had it on a wardrobe and things like that, that she just keeps saying to herself, and we make a prayer out of that and stuff. But part of what's on that list, as far as I can remember, is the fact that, you know, you give birth with his, the child will come naturally and things like that. But it turns out that it was going to be a cesarean section. I mean, the child eventually came by a CS. Does that mean that, you know, God has been unfaithful, or she has not confessed well enough? She should have done the confession 2 more times or whatever. No, it doesn't work out like that. In the midst of it all, is to come to this place of knowing that we serve a God that is massively beyond all of these categories that we can want to file him in our lives. And lastly, this issue of how to help people who are suffering, who are grieving, or how to model and do that properly. And I mean, time will not, we are literally out of time. But I want us to at least hang on to that statement. If you don't know what to say to them, keep quiet. Be there, be present, be quiet. If they are crying, weep with them. Whatever it is, do it with them. But if you don't know what to say, it's better to be quiet. We will go on to see what Job's friends will begin to say. I mean, it's amazing. The Bible says at the end of chapter 2, they stayed weeping with him for 7 days and 7 nights. That's like, how is that even possible? I don't know whether they had to go out and heat themselves at some point and come back and continue crying, go away and heat and come back and continue crying, or they just literally stayed there for 7 days and 7 nights. In any case, whether that is poetic license or a factual detail, it's good that that is how they started. But we know that that's not how the story is going to continue. And we know that even Job himself is going to come very close to doing what his wife said he shouldn't do. I mean, what his wife suggested that he should have done, out of our own grief. So the story has not finished. Don't think we have got the book of Job covered in 2 chapters. There is still many, many roller coasters to come and different aspects to zoom in on that story. And so we'll see in 2 weeks and pick it from where we are living off right now. I wish I could take any more questions, but if you do have a question, please put it in the chat thread. It will be noted down and then would pick it up from there. There's another meeting starting now, so I need to literally wrap up. We need to wrap up now and would pray. I can see there are some comments, which are also very interesting. And would literally pick up from here when we come in 2 weeks. So don't miss it, please. Invite your friends. Let's do this together. Let's continue from here and journey onwards in this very exciting book. Let's pray. God, you're good. And you're the center of our story. We are here because you've been here and you will always be. You have no beginning, no end. All of our lives is just like a tiny dot on the timeline of your eternal existence. And so there is nothing that we could possibly go through that is going to be puzzling to you. But we trust that you're good. We trust that you're the one in charge of our story. We trust that you know, you always know how to work all things together for our good. We know that there will be times that we won't be able to wrap our heads around how you do it. There will be times we won't even agree with how you're doing it. But may we be people that you can call your servants. In all those references to Job, you referred to him as your servant. Have you considered my servant? Not my son, not my child, my servant. Someone who understands that I'm not just familial. I'm a master. He serves me. He serves me. May we serve you. May we serve in the fullness of the knowledge that you are love. May we serve you. May our lives serve you. May our situations serve you. May our pains serve you. May our words and reactions in the midst of the roller coasters of life, may they serve you. And we give you all the glory. That we may enjoy you. For that's our chief aim, to glorify God and to enjoy forever. And keep us when we say in 2 weeks' time, grant us the grace to be able to continue this conversation in the fullness of joy of who you are and all you can accomplish and do with our lives. For in Jesus' holy name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Amen.